Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, England ditches the plan to have Captain Harry Kane wear the One Love armband at their first World Cup match today. We'll have the very latest on that in just a moment. Also, don't ask grandparents to mind sick children. That's the official advice. But what is RSV and why are doctors so concerned about it? How quick and easy are prefab homes to make? Brian O'Connell has been finding out. And from popping a top to making it yourself, we hear how some home brewers are turning a hobby into a business. And it's one of the main reasons many of us go to the GP. But why do we get lower back pain and what can we do about it? Well, spine surgeon Derek Cawley is here later. And if you have any questions on lower back pain for Derek, do get in touch now. Text us on 51551. Email todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. But let's go to that breaking news now, because I'm joined on the line by Gavin Cooney, sports writer with the 42.ie. Who's in Doha. And the breaking news is that England and Wales and other football federations have decided to back down on wearing their One Love armband due to the risk of referees issuing players with a yellow card or worse. Now, Gavin, this emerged in the last couple of minutes. Just tell us what has happened.
It's kind of an extraordinary story, really, Claire. So you may remember from, we discussed on the show previously, that the captains of the European teams at this World Cup planned on wearing an armband, a rainbow-coloured armband bearing the phrase "One Love" in a rather subtle support of the LGBT community. But over the weekend, FIFA announced at short notice that players would instead be instructed to wear other FIFA-mandated slogans on their armbands. They would change for every match. Hashtag football unites the world was the slogan to be worn today. And that meant that the captains of the European sides intending on wearing the One Love armband would be booked if they wore the One Love armband, because it would be technically in contravention of FIFA's equipment rules, which changed late on Saturday night.
So we have this joint statement from the football associations who are affected. So England, Wales, Belgium, Denmark, Germany, the Netherlands and Switzerland. And they're saying that they're not going to put their captains at risk of a straight yellow card if they wear this armband. But that doesn't stop, you would imagine, a captain or any number of those captains deciding themselves to wear the armband.
Yep, they can go and do it. No one can stop them strapping that to their bicep before they walk out and accept the yellow card. I mean, teams of five substitutes, they could pick a guy for the first minute to wear the armband and then substitute him off so as he doesn't get sent off later in the game. Mm-hmm. It's quite extraordinary. Like, I mean, the FAs were willing to pay fines if FIFA imposed them, but this has changed the goalposts again, and they believed it was unfair to put players in that position. And it's a fairly risible episode that sums up this World Cup, because the criticism of the One Love armband was that it was quite an empty and meaningless slogan. It wasn't anything direct. FIFA's stance on this changed over the weekend. That actually imbued it with some significance and meaning. Now you would have to defy FIFA to wear it, and the captains, when they were faced with that, have dropped.
Mm-hmm. I see Miguel Delaney, the sports writer, saying that FIFA also say they're bringing forward their no discrimination campaign from the quarter final so players can wear that armband at that stage.
Right. Okay. I wasn't aware of that, but okay, that was due into the quarterfinals. They were meant to evolve it, but it, you know, it's another empty corporate statement, really, isn't it? I mean, the One Love armband actually meant something now that it was questioned by FIFA and made technically illegal by their own rules, and they dropped it. And then, like, hashtag no discrimination. If that's permitted by FIFA at the expense of something that wasn't permitted, what significance and meaning does that really have?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that'll be put to the test at 1 o'clock today. That's the first time we'll see this in action, right, when England start their first game.
Yeah, correct. Harry Kane is the man. He'll have the eyes of the world on him when he walks out, leads England out against Iran later today.
All right. Now, you've been there since Saturday. What's it been like? What are the facilities like? How have you been settling in? What have you seen?
Pretty good. I mean, I haven't really got a chance to go out and explore Qatar really yet. I mean, I only landed late Saturday night, so I spent yesterday on the kind of treadmill running from hotel to media centre and then out to the stadium. There was a slight issue with my accreditation because someone at FIFA mixed up my passport date of issue with the date of issue of myself, which meant that they did technically accredit a 6-month-old journalist, which would make me one of the younger journalists in the press box. And then there was gridlock outside the stadium, the Al Bayt Stadium, which held the opening ceremony and the opening game yesterday. There was Qataris were encouraged to take their cars, presumably to lessen the burden on public transport. This stadium is 30 miles out into the desert. There's nothing else around. You have to get there by car or bus. I don't know if it's indicative of a systematic problem with the organisation, but the driver of our media shuttle bus taking us out the stadium managed to get lost. So he didn't know where he was going. We ended up looping around the stadium 3 or 4 times for about 2 hours before eventually abandoning it on the motorway about 1 kilometre from the stadium and walking the rest of the way.
So that meant that you missed part of the opening ceremony?
I missed about half the opening ceremony. As to how much I missed, I'm not really sure. I came in to see Morgan Freeman kind of in a strange kind of splayed position on the ground, repeating FIFA slogans about how football unites the world, and then watched as the Emir of Qatar addressed the world.
Yeah, this is the same Morgan Freeman who was involved in the United States bid 12 years ago, now siding with the Qataris, which has been commented on a lot over the weekend. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about was this bizarre tirade the other day from the FIFA president Gianni Infantino, saying that he showed empathy with people, saying, "Today I feel gay, today I feel like a migrant worker." What was that about?
Well, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. I regret to say that I wasn't in the room. I've watched it back since. I talked to a few journalists who were in the room who now have pains on their back from stooping to pick their jaws up off the floor. Infantino was trying to articulate how football unites the world, to use their own corporate pablum, and brings the world together, and how he feels empathy with all of these people. He said he feels that he understands the plight of a migrant worker because he was bullied as a school for having ginger hair and freckles. at which point you meant, I don't know whether you meant to jeer or laugh at that, but it was part of a piece, you know. I mean, and I think you can see it as well with this stance around the late minute stance around the One Love armband. Gianni Infantino has derided what he described as Western hypocrisy in the media. Europe, rather than highlight the human rights issues in Qatar involved in the build up to this World Cup, should instead be apologising for the 3,000 years of history that went before it. So to take that to its logical end, we couldn't criticise the migrant workers who died building stadiums because Joan of Arc was put to death. I mean, it's an absolute absurdity, but it presumably plays well locally, certainly with the people organising the tournament. They have on many occasions derided the hypocrisy and the moralising of the Western media, and presumably plays well with his base, and he has a rather large base to the point that he's going to run unopposed to be re-elected as FIFA president next year.
It's such a strange event. The entire thing is just bizarre, isn't it?
Honestly, it was just that match last night, Claire. It was just the weirdest experience of my admittedly fairly short career at this point. But you drive for 30 miles and then all of a sudden this brand new stadium, like gleaming, just rises from the sand out of nowhere with these like little patches of lush manicured grass around it and nothing else around it. And this cost $200 billion. It's like a palace built on a famine road. And then the football was abysmal. I mean, Qatar, I didn't think Qatar would be as bad as they were. I think their players were probably under a little bit too much pressure and froze beneath the world's glare. But they were shocking. I mean, it was 2-0, but Ecuador went 2-0 up after, 25 minutes or so, and then realised this is men against boys, and they just kind of put the handbrake on and coasted from there. But I think the thing that struck me most from the stadium was it was about a third empty after halftime. So the stadium, the tournament that we've been waiting 12 years for, that Qatar spent $200 billion for, many of their home supporters didn't bother sticking around for the second half. It's about a third empty then. I don't think they showed the stands on the television coverage to show just how empty it was. And then it was almost entirely empty going into the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game.
Yeah. And then tonight, of course, we have England's debut, or rather at lunchtime today, England's debut against Iran. They'd be expected to win that. But all the attention now is going to be on this armband issue. All the pressure is going to be on Harry Kane.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, FIFA will say, you know, stick to the football. Let's not talk about the politics. Again, FIFA have accentuated this. They've made this story, really. And we'll see if Kane or any of the other captains defies their Pfizer orders. But I'd be shocked.
All right. They'd be expected to win that one, right?
England are expected to win. Yeah, they'll have to be beating the likes of Iran if they want to go on and end however many years of hurt we're at this point. But it's going to be tricky for them. Iran are super defensive and super tough to break down.
And Wales playing the USA tonight at 7 p.m. Gareth Bale's going to face the same issue around the armband. But what's the outcome of that match expected to be?
It's going to be very, very tight. It's very, very difficult to call. This is Wales' first World Cup in 64 years, so it's a huge moment for them. The US are a very young team. I think they're the youngest team here, and will be very, very energetic. So all hinges on the fitness of Gareth Bale. If he hasn't played many matches coming into this tournament, so if he's fit, that might swing at Wales' way.
All right, Gavin, we'll let you get on and make your way. I'd say, given what you experienced yesterday, you better get moving out to the stadium. Thanks very much for joining us, Gavin
now.
Cooney.
Thanks,
there Tom. From the42.ie. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.